Thank you, New York. Today, we're reminded of the power of community and the power of coming together. Athletes, on your mark.
The first woman to finish for the second straight year here in the New York City Marathon is Mickey Gorman, a smiling Mickey Gorman, and why not?
2:29:30, the time for Good Advice.
Look at the emotion of Shalane Flanagan as she comes to the line,
pointing to his chest, pointing to the USA. He so proudly wears across his chest. A great day for Mev Kozlowski.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Set the Pace, presented by Peloton, the official podcast of New York Roadrunners. I'm your host and CEO of New York Roadrunners, Rob Similcare. With me as co-host, the marvelous Bex Gentry. Bex, how are you? Good to see you.
Hi, I'm very good. Rob, happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. It was a great Father's Day weekend. It was lovely. I spent tons of time with my girls, and I appreciate that. It was lovely. We had a good time. We all went out Saturday together to the amazing Citizens Queens 10K out at Flushing Meadows Park. And Bex, I know you had the weekend off from teaching and from running, but It was a beautiful day. Not the coolest day to run, but you know, it's June. You can't expect cool. Mm-hmm. It was a hot run, but a great turnout. And there was a festival and so many people. Citizens did an amazing job just making it a special experience for everyone. I ran the 10K. My daughter Julia ran the Stage 3 kids race. That was a 1 miler.
Congrats,
she ran in under
Julia.
7 minutes, so that was great for her. And
wow.
Then, but the star of the day was my little one, Annika, who never runs, really says she hates it. She ran the Stage 2, which was a 1/2 mile run, kind of a fun run, untimed. And she leaves the starting line flying. And Julia and I are like, oh, that's not good. She's going to tire out. And she turns around and comes back. And she ran it like under 4 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Oh my goodness.
Under three. What am I saying? Under 3 minutes for
Annika.
A 1/2 mile. It was crazy. So we were so happy for her. She was fired up. And then that led into a great Father's Day. So it was a lot of fun.
That sounds like you have two future running stars on your hands with those times.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
Jules runs
cross country in high school, so she's into it. Annika, you know, maybe that'll get her excited about it because she had never expressed any interest in running, but the smile when she crossed the finish line was priceless.
And that's what we like to see.
Yeah, those kids races are so special. Team, led by Herman Martinez, does such a great job with our youth events. And, you know, for those out there listening, I really encourage you, if you're a runner, look at the schedule of our youth series. We have so many youth races. A lot of them are alongside the adult races. Mm-hmm. We have a one or two that are solo. And it's just great to get your kids out there, put a bib on them, and just give them the feeling of running a race. You know, we start as young as 2 years old with these races. So it's just a great experience for the kids.
I can't wait for Tallulah to do her first New York Roadrunners youth race. It's going to be good.
Make it happen.
Oh, so soon. So soon. A few more months. But this weekend was so good.
Oh, yeah. Bex, we put out a funny video actually on Father's Day, New York Roadrunners, with a bunch of dads kind of talking about being a runner dad and like things they do with their kids. And one of them was a guy named John Phillips on our team who literally says, of course, I'm a runner dad. So, of course, I sign my kid up for a race the day she turned 2 years old. And it shows
Brilliant.
Her picking his kid up and running with her to the finish line. So, I expect that to be you, Bex.
More than likely it will be. Yep, October 22nd, let's go. But now listen, I hear that there were record number of finishers at the Citizens Queens 10K this weekend. Is that right?
It was crazy, Bex. 12,094 finishers, a record crowd. Incredible day. Congrats to the winners that day, by the way. Yunu Alamiru Getahun was the men's winner at 30 minutes and 45 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
That's a blazing time for 10K. Can you believe that time?
So fast.
Just bananas. And on the women's side, it was Roberta Groner, New York Roadrunners member. She's been a guest on Set the Pace. She comes up with the win, 34 minutes and 1 second.
Beautiful.
She is just an absolute wonder.
She is. She is. Oh my goodness. And congrats to the non-binary winner with Jacob Caswell in 36:32. I mean, all these times, absolutely everyone's times, not just the winners, were phenomenal. Congratulations amazing. To you all.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I went out and ran a pretty good race myself. I set a PR in the 10K, which was great. I mean, I have to say, I have to thank my pacer and my chief of staff, by the way, Iber Gonzalez Vidals, who works for us at Roadrunners, and he's also an incredible runner. It works for us at Roadrunners, and he's an incredible runner. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, I think I could maybe run a good time in Queens. It's flat. And I had aspirations of running even faster than I ended up running. And Iber, who's way faster than me, agreed to pace me. And so we set a plan. And we go out and start running the pace that we plan to run. And 2 miles in, Bex, I was like, this is just, I cannot keep this pace up. There's no way we're going to run that time.
Oh,
it was
no.
just hot enough that I felt like I was really dying from about two miles on. But we hung on there and ran in like just over 42 minutes. And it was a great race for me. So I had a really good time.
Amazing. Congratulations. These PRs, they keep coming. They keep on flowing.
I don't think there's many left, Bex. I think I've tapped out. I'm going to take a little time off from racing hard now, and then we'll see what the fall brings. But it should be a lot of fun. And Bex, there's so much going on at Roadrunners in the month
there
of
is.
June. We've got such a busy month.
So many races.
So many races. It's like one after the other. This coming Sunday, we'll be back in Central Park for one of the most inspiring races of the year, mm-hmm. the Achilles Hope and Possibility 4-miler, presented by TD Bank. That's always such an inspiring run, Bex, as we see all of the great work that Achilles does with athletes with disabilities. And it's just so inspiring to see them all out there racing in that event. So it's really a special one.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'll be sending you all lots of love from the other side of the pond.
Absolutely, as you head back to the UK for a visit home. I know you'll enjoy yourself over there. So we'll miss you, but I know you'll have a great time. And then we've got a great show today, Bex. Such an honor to speak with Nikki Hiltz. For anybody who follows track and field, Nikki really has become such a trailblazer in that world, a professional middle distance runner, really specializing in that 1500 meters, 800 meters as well. Nikki, a powerful advocate for the LGBTQ community as well. Nikki identifies as non-binary, and they've been breaking barriers and setting records on and off the track. And they'll be here to share their story with us. A great conversation with Nikki Hiltz coming up in just a little bit. And then for our member moment this week, Neb will be here with New York Roadrunners Runner of the Year in the non-binary category, ages 45 to 49, Rob Roberts. Rob just started running marathons in 2021, but now has many to his name, and we can't wait for you to hear his story too. And then for today's Med Minute, we're going to get some tips on one of the most important summertime running topics, especially in a week as hot as this one has been, especially on the East Coast, hydration. Got to stay hydrated.
Oh my goodness. What a show. What a show. I'm very excited for everyone to hear the conversation we had with Nikki, because it's such an exciting time for them. And Med Minute is going to be invaluable. Team, take everything he says and try it.
Absolutely. So looking forward to a good show.
Get ready to go the extra mile with walking and running content fit for all levels, available on the Peloton app. Tap in and track your workouts all in one place with the Just Walk or Just Run features to easily get moving towards your goals. No equipment needed. Find the Peloton app in the Apple, Android, and Google App stores. Peloton, the official digital fitness partner for New York Roadrunners.
Nikki Hiltz is a champion middle distance runner specializing in the 800 meter and the 1500 meter events. They live and train in Flagstaff, Arizona under the guidance of Coach Mike Smith. In 2023, Nikki won the national championship in the 1500 meters and recently ran a phenomenal 3:59 in the 1500 at the Prefontaine Classic. As an openly non-binary athlete, Nikki advocates for the LGBTQ plus community and emphasizes the importance of mental health in sports. And Nikki is headed next week to the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon. They use their platform to humanize trans and non-binary people and inspire so many people by sharing their story. Nikki, so awesome to have you on Set the Pace. Really, it's an honor. We're such fans of you at New York Roadrunners and everything you're doing. So welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love a good podcast, so excited for this
Who
conversation.
Doesn't love, Who doesn't love a good podcast? I'm sure you are asked to do more than your share of podcasts, Nikki, given your incredible success and your story. So wait, let's start at the start here. How's it going getting ready for Eugene? How are you feeling? What do you feel like your chances are to make yourself an Olympic team?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, we're 2 weeks out. I think yesterday was, yeah, exactly 2 weeks from round one. And so it's crazy. It's finally here. There's a lot of feelings. There's, you know, I think a lot of excitement, definitely a lot of nervousness. But yeah, I just can't believe it's finally here. Like, this is what we've been working towards, you know, for the last 3 years, it feels like. So yeah, I think just like, I feel pretty good though. Like, I'm, you know, in the best shape of my life. And that's always a great place to be in going into a big, important race. Yeah, I feel confident. You know, I love championship racing because there's no rabbits, there's no pace lights. It's literally just, let's go out and try to beat everyone that's next to me, you know? And so I love that. And yeah, I think I'm just excited to race and to execute a really good 1500 and hopefully that lands me first, second or third.
I think you're going to do it because judging by your insane performance at the Prefontaine Classic, I mean, like, my jaw was on the floor. As a long distance runner, I was like, that makes me feel physically sick. But unreal fast. I mean, how was it coming off the back of that and like going into this insanely, you know, important training plan? Like, how was that? Like, the high and then like, okay, I've got to kind of refocus my brain.
Totally. Yeah. You know, it's kind of scary because it was my first 15 of the season. Like, I've kind of approached this season differently than I have maybe past outdoor seasons. I really haven't raced that much. I did a couple of eights in early May, which, you know, I think got me ready for when we went out fast at pre. And I think the Olympic trials is going to go out fast too. So just practicing that. But yeah, it's weird. I think I've really leaned into training the past, you know, like 6 months, whereas before I would kind of rely on like racing into shape more. And I think, yeah, I think that's just kind of shown how I've maybe grown as an athlete and like, or grown in my confidence. And like, I don't need to race a ton to know that I'm a good racer. Like, I have that confidence in myself. So yeah, it was after the meet. Yeah, it was obviously such a fun weekend. Like, I think, yeah, Tracktown did such a good job of like putting that meet on and just such a cool atmosphere. And then, yeah, coming back to like quiet Flagstaff was definitely a change. But yeah, I think I've just been leaning into training and yeah, just really like knowing like the training is what is going to make you do, like, it's what's going to make you fit so that you can do all the right moves you want to do in the race. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nikki, 1500 meters and 800 even faster, but it goes by so quickly. You know, it just happens so fast. We talk, of course, on this show a lot about marathons and half marathons, but you know, I'm sure you go into these races with a plan. Everybody's got a plan. As Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face, right? But you walk in with a plan, and then how do you try to make your plan actually happen? Over a race that is so short and unexpected things happen, unexpected pace, unexpected people doing unexpected things. How do you execute a plan while at the same time being ready for the unexpected in a race where things can happen so quickly?
Yeah, I think you just said it. You have to be ready for everything and anything. And I think the only thing predictable about the 1500 is that it's going to be unpredictable. And so, but I think that's why I love this event. Like, it keeps me on my toes. And, you know, obviously I have a plan to some extent, like a rough outline, I would say, but it's really just about getting in there and trusting your instincts. And I'm such a nerd. Like, I watch so many 1500s. Like, I really study this event and I know, like, I know what to do when certain things happen. And if I don't, and if something new happens in a race, it's almost like I get excited of like, oh, this is something new I'm learning. Like, and so, yeah, I think you have to, you know, run races to your strength. And my strength is my finishing kick. And So yeah, I just, it's pretty simple. Like it's complicated and hard and very difficult thing to do, but it's simple. I just sit and kick. Like that's my, at the end of the day, my strategy. And sometimes I'm sitting and the pace is like a fast pace and sometimes it's slow and then it becomes about positioning. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's just kind of a fun chess match for me out there. And it's that's why I love championship racing, because it's like who can figure it out and who can be at the right place at the right time.
I love that. It's like a chess match. Like, yeah. So there's, you know, 4 minutes, let's say, over the 1500, and you are not just absolutely crushing it, but you're having this game of chess in your brain. That's inspiring. So talking of learning new things, you've been working with Coach Mike Smith. And I mean, you've always been an incredible athlete. But recently you have been breaking your own records. Like, you've been going for it. You've been like just leveling up every single time. So is there something that you or he or together you've been doing differently in your training?
Yeah, I think just like when I first moved here in March of 2022, so it's been like kind of 2 full years, it was really just the focus on let's get stronger. Like I've always had a really good finishing kick, but I just wasn't quite strong enough to be there to be able to use it. So that was the main goal, it was like, focus on the third lap. Like that's the hardest lap of the 1500. And and so I think I've really, really built out my threshold, aerobic threshold. And, we do this thing called double threshold. I'm sure the whole running world is sick of hearing about it, but it's, you work out in the morning and then you come back in the afternoon and, it's nothing crazy fast. It's threshold pace. It's just the volume. It like gets you over, months, weeks and weeks, months and months, years and years, just gets you stronger. And so that I think has been like the really big focus. And my training partners are, 5K, 10K athletes. So that obviously helps in that arena too. And then, but also not completely abandoning my speed. Every Friday, like I do 800 workouts specifically. I'm doing, 60 pace or under on Friday. So it's kind of like really hitting two ends of the spectrum. On Tuesdays, I'm running 80 pace, and on Fridays, I'm running 60 pace. And then when I get in the race, it's somewhere in between.
It almost sounds like your speed is the thing that you know is there, that you can count on, right? It seems like you've always had that. And in sports, we all have that, right? Like we all have a thing if we're good and we excel at a sport, one part of that thing that we know we can go to. So it sounds like, for me, maybe in tennis, maybe it's my backhand that's reliable, mm-hmm. right? Or, whatever it may be. For you, the kick seems like the thing you know is there. So is that why you're training with these 5K and 10K runners to build up the part that you aren't always as sure of, right? That the second and the third lap before you can get to that kick?
Exactly. Yeah, you said it perfectly. And I think like, I don't know. I think really good athletes kind of can look at themselves in the mirror and be like, okay, what am I bad at? Like, what do I need help with? And that's, I think, kind of what I did coming off the last Olympic trials of not to say I'm like bad at something, but it's like, oh, where can I like, where's room for improvement, And so that I kind of just dove headfirst into, at the start of 2022 to really figure that out. And, altitude was something I had dabbled in. I had done, training camps and stuff and Flagstaff and things like that. But I was like, I think this is going to be good for me in the long haul. And it's just really cool to see it paying off.
That is. Because you're originally from California, right?
Yes. Santa Cruz, California. Yeah.
Santa Cruz. That's it. So going up into the mountains and Flagstaff and having like, you're surrounded by the running Mecca almost. Just everyone is out there living and training and inspiring one another. And I guess one of my questions I'm dying to know, which is totally probably off script here, but being that you are in Flagstaff and surrounded by people over many different disciplines who are training out there with hopes of making the team for the Olympics, how do you keep yourself kind of grounded but also motivated?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good question. I feel like it's so applicable just like right now. Like I was saying, we're 2 weeks out from this thing that everyone is like wants so badly. And so I think it is really important to surround yourself with people who are like just like good energy and like are approaching it in a way that like maybe you approach it. Like, so it's, yeah, it's like a really delicate thing because everyone, we all want it and we're all working so hard for it, but it's like, you also have to protect your space and yeah, I mean, I've surrounded myself with really awesome people. Like, you know, my partner Emma is like, you know, she just found out today that she's officially accepted into the trials. And so, yeah, congrats, it's so Emma. Exciting. Yeah. And so like, being around her, obviously every day is awesome. And, you know, Maddie Borman has become a really good friend. She's training up here and she's in the steeplechase as well. And, yeah, I think just like finding people, you know, Rachel Smith, and Mike are like, they just have such a good head on their shoulders and like know that, yes, like, we're going to Eugene to like try to make an Olympic team, but like at the end of the day, we're going to Eugene to just try to execute a really good race. And like, that's what we practice and what we do. And that's something I'm confident I'm really good at. So yeah, it's just like surrounding yourself with people that believe in you. And then also have the same mindset of like, it's, let's just be really process focused instead of like outcome oriented. And so, yeah, that's been really helpful for me.
It makes so much sense to think that way because yeah. Your process and your performance, that's the part you can control. You can't control what other people do, right? And ultimately, mm-hmm. whether you make the team or not is in part based on what other people do, but you can't control that. So it must make it a lot easier to manage the next couple of weeks thinking that way. And I mean, I'm impressed with you that you're even sitting here doing a podcast 2 weeks out from this thing. I can tell you must be mentally very strong that you're able to have a conversation like this and talk about it and just, I mean, does it relax you to talk about it and have these conversations? Does it make you feel any different or is it just kind of part of what you have to do as a pro athlete?
Yeah, it's part of it. Like we talk about the trials almost every day, you know, like it's in my mind, it's in the back of my mind. Why not talk about it? You know, I think just like pretending it doesn't exist or like trying to not talk about it would almost like fester inside of you more, you know? And so
what trials? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Talking about. Yeah. But I think also like I've been in this sport long enough. Like I've in 2021, like I felt so much pressure and like pressure and stress to make it the team. And like, there was all this, like, I felt like all this stuff riding on it. And then like the worst thing happened, like I didn't make the team and I was fine. Like my life went on and like, I have a beautiful life. And then I moved to Flagstaff the next year and then my life got even better. And it's like, so I think like, and then I've had, you know, championships where I did make, like last year I won the whole thing. So I've had the experience of, you know, having both outcomes of doing it and not doing it. And it actually, no matter what the outcome is, it doesn't change your life at all. Like, you know, and I think that going into this, it's almost like not making the Olympic team in 2021 was like a blessing in disguise. Cause now I'm like, yeah, that can happen again. And it's going to be fine if the outcome isn't what I want, you know?
Wow. I love that. And it sounds like you have such a supportive team around you from obviously Emma, but also friends and training partners and coaches. That's just, you know, it's lucky and it's so inspiring. And like, honestly, from seeing what you do as an athlete, and the love that you give back and the inspiration that you give back to the LGBTQ plus community is just, it's wonderful. It's really something that, you know, athletes right now are getting more and more voice to be able to stand up and use these platforms in the way that they want to. It's not closed off and it's not kind of, I don't know, policed maybe. And so is that kind of helping you knowing how many people out there are looking to you with just thanks and inspiration?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's always lovely to have support, you know? And, yeah, just, I feel like people like say in the LGBTQ community, like we're with you. And like that feel like, just like those words, like, just, I don't know, mean so much to me. Cause like, this is such a solo sport. Like it's not a team sport. Like it's just, you can have obviously coaches, training partners, things like that. But like, at the end of the day, it's just you on the track making it happen or not. And so I think the like, yeah, like we're with you, we see you, like we're cheering you on it does make it feel like I have like a purpose or a community with me when I'm out there. And I think that's just so powerful. And yeah.
Nikki, what's interesting to me when I look at your trajectory is you came out as transgender and non-binary in 2021. After that, I believe it was after that trials, right? Where you didn't make the team. Is that correct?
It was actually before. It was March. Before? Yeah. So it was okay, like so 3 months before.
Soon
yeah.
before. But then since then, I mean, you have just skyrocketed in terms of your results, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of factors, your training and your coaching and just where you're at as an athlete. But has that been part of it? Your ability to be out there as your true self, running as who you are and having everybody know it. And is that, do you think that's part of what is driving the success that you are having on the track the last couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think I was holding this thing inside that, you know, I think like when you have certain emotions or energy, like, or stress about something, like, kind of like I was saying, if you just hold it in, it's gonna, like weigh you down or just, I don't know. So I do really feel like when I came out about, you know, my gender identity and it was like a weight lifted and, but I think like, it kind of took a while for like maybe the running world to catch up and, you know, start normalizing that using they, them pronouns. And, you know, it is an adjustment period. And I feel like, but yeah, it's like, it's almost like the better the running world gets at it, like the better, the more I feel seen, safe and supported. And then of course I can like be better at my craft. So I think it definitely is all connected. You know, I remember in 2016, I came out initially about my sexuality and then boom, 2017 was like my best year I ever had in college. So it's like, it was kind of paralleling that, but now with like my gender identity. And so, yeah, it's definitely like not a coincidence. And, yeah, just very grateful for all the people who have made space for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think Nikki, and you talk about mental health a lot in your travels as an athlete. We talk about it a lot at New York Roadrunners and here on this podcast. And I just think it's such an interesting case study in what makes someone be able to perform at their best, whether it's in athletics or any other walk of life, right? Your job, your relationships, whatever it is, when you have this stuff that's kind of weighing you down, it's just hard, right? And like, you know, we think we can compartmentalize and say, okay, well, I'm going to take that thing and put that in a drawer and not look at that because I'm focused on running this race. But you can only do that so much, right? And at some point, those things that are nagging you will affect your performance or your training. But when those things are resolved, like it, and you feel like you're unified as a person, right? That's how you can really get the best out of yourself.
Totally. 100%. Yeah.
It's just fascinating. What do you say to other athletes who, you know, maybe are going through it or before where you were maybe in your journey, you know, maybe the 2020 version of a Nikki Hiltz? What do you give advice to people, whether it's specific individuals or just in general? What do you say to them?
I think for me, like the biggest struggle was not feeling that I belonged. Like, you know, cause I think I didn't see, like, I'm the first, like I didn't see someone like me or have representation of someone using they, them pronouns and what that even looks like. And so I'm like, okay, I guess that doesn't belong in track and field or sports. And, I think that was really hard to like, you know, get over or like, yeah. So I would say like, you do belong, like, and you, anyone who competes in this sport belongs in this sport. It's not reserved for just, you know, one gender or one race or one body type. Like that's the beautiful part about track and field. It's like 100 different sports within one sport. And so, I do think that, yeah, just you belong like wherever you decide to be, like that's, you know, that's the case. And, yeah, I think that there are people in this sport and world that like are willing to make space for you and see you and try to understand you, even if they don't have the same, you know, identity. And yeah, it's obviously scary, and it's such a leap of faith to like come out about something, but that's like where the biggest growth happens. And yeah, I don't know, I'm a big Brené Brown fan, and you know, vulnerability is like, that's where courage and vulnerability are like one and the same. And so yeah, I don't know, I feel like just you belong and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
And that's such a good mental health a piece of advice as well, no matter what is going on, of just you belong, you find your true self, and you belong where you are. And that's just such a wonderful message for anyone out there. As a mom, I'm definitely, that's something that I constantly am making sure I'm reminding my, she's only 20 months, so got a while to go, but I'm still, you know, you have to take it in to your life.
You belong in bed, right?
You belong in bed. That's what is said quite often. Yeah. Mom really wants to go for a run. Please, can you go to bed? But Nikki, I loved your post on Instagram about just how open you were about saying it's no coincidence that it's Pride Month, and you were just like, I want to be an Olympian at the end of this month, and how thankful you were to the community of giving you the love and the support and seeing you. And I just think, has that really given you a good boost, just being like, it's gonna happen, it's June, I'm like literally flying my flag as high as I possibly can right now to make this Olympic dream come true? It must be magical in your mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, Emma and I joke, like, whenever you race during Pride Month, it's impossible to lose, you know? So yeah, I do feel, I think it would just, yeah, be incredible to, June 30th is the final day of the trials. It's the final day of Pride Month. Like, it's the 1500 final. Like, yeah, I think it would be like no better way to close out the month than running a really good 1500. So yeah, it is very exciting. And I do know, that's the beautiful part, is like we said, no matter what the outcome is, I know that I'm a part of this community, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. And like, yeah, there's so much love and support, no matter what happens in those 4 minutes. So, yeah.
Can I just ask as well, as somebody who's gone through a kind of quick rise to notoriety, let's say, and somebody who tries, not your standard, also didn't make the Olympic team and haven't tried again though. But when it comes to that recognition level, and you're a leader, you're such a leader, but knowing that you have that role, but also at the same time having to actually really go to that internal Nikki and have that conversation with yourself about your training, how do you balance that mental health side?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I have a sports psych who, you know, I meet with weekly, and I think that has really helped me to, I can kind of compartmentalize the two. And I think, I think in the past I've kind of tried to be like this spokesperson for like the queer community. And like, I do still, you know, identify as that and claim that as an advocate, but like, I think more not stressing and focusing more on that, but just like, okay, the better I do at my sport, like the bigger I'm going to get, and then, like, just focus on that, and then the rest is going to come, kind of a thing, instead of like, I don't know, does that make sense? So I think kind of separating the two of like, actually the trials is just about performance. It's just about like showing up, being seen, doing my job. And then outside of that, like just my having the identity I have, that's enough. You know, I don't need to like, go and like be on the Senate floor, like campaigning for these, you know, like anti-trans laws or things like that. Like, I think I can just actually focus on what I'm good at. And then also, obviously, if I get an interview and, you know, there's a question about it, totally happy to answer it. But like, I think the more and more I can hone in on just like, yeah, racing and doing my best there, then that's going to actually help the community as well.
It makes sense, because we can only do so much, right? Yep. I mean, you can't be everything. You can't be an elite Olympic level athlete and a an activist and a politician and a partner and all that. I mean, we can't do every single thing. So it all makes sense to me. But, you know, you are so eloquent in talking about these issues, and you are kind enough to do a little internal chat with our New York Roadrunner staff a couple of weeks ago and got great questions and inspired people so much here in talking about it. And, you know, we talked a little bit on that call about the non-binary division and, you know, of course we've really pioneered that here at New York Roadrunners, and it's, you know, it's a journey, right? Sometimes we get some things right, sometimes we don't, but we're working on making it better every day. And, you know, I remember asking you during that conference, you know, you're competing obviously in Eugene with women, you're in the female division, and is that where you felt you should be, you know, at this point? Do you think there should be a non-binary Olympics, you know, division and medals and all that at some point? And you gave a really interesting answer you can share here.
Yeah. I mean, in track and field, like at the professional level, like it's very binary. There's the women's category and the men's category. And so, totally okay in the women's category. Like, but I think something that really helps me is just inclusive language. So like, I remember when they were announcing us on the start line, they, you know, the in-stadium announcer was like, here are the athletes competing in the women's 1500, you know, and then like announced the field instead of here are, you know, the 1500 women, you know, like it's just like little tweaks like that can go a long way in making sure like I feel safe and seen and accepted. And, you know, I think obviously also the normalization of pronouns has been huge. You know, the announcers, broadcasters, my competitors, training partners, like everyone just like casually using they, them pronouns, also obviously helps me feel, like accepted. And so I think those, even though I'm competing, yes, in the women's category, I don't 100% identify as a woman, like those little simple inclusive language, like, yeah, can really, really, really change how I'm feeling. And then on top of that, like your second part of your question of like, would I want a non-binary category? It's like, I don't know if right now that makes sense because it's just me, you know, it would be like what the men run, then the women run, and then I run alone. Like, that's not what I want. And so, but I also don't have all the answers. Like, I'm just one non-binary person trying to figure out, you know, I'm the first in the US in this sport. I'm trying to just like figure out what makes sense for me. But yeah, like I said, I think the more we can use inclusive language, the better. But yeah, totally, you know, and I think you guys as New York Roadrunners are kind of in the same boat of like, you're like, well, we're the first that, you know, major marathon to have a non-binary category. We're just trying to figure it out. Like we have, you know, maybe we're going to make mistakes sometimes, or like, we don't speak for all major marathons. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing of like, we're just trying to navigate it best we can. And yeah, I do think I do think what you're doing is awesome. And I think, you know, you have a whole team trying to make space for people who like 5 years ago, like had no space. So, yeah. Does that answer your question? I feel like I kind of rambled.
No, it was perfect. And we appreciate it. It's, it is not an easy thing to figure out. But you know, you're blazing a trail, and you know, some of the controversy you hear about, you know, we all know some of that's driven by different agendas, and it's just, there's a lot of politics in all of that. We all know that. But what another thing I know you said in that conversation, which I really appreciated, was, you know, how do you react to someone who messes up, right? Because it's hard. I mean, I can say, you know, I'm a lot older than you, right? And I've been using only male and female pronouns for my entire life, and I'm now learning to make this adjustment to use they, them pronouns and getting a lot better at it. But still sometimes we'll mess up. And so how do you react to that when, you know, someone's trying, but, you know, they kind of still trying to find their way to the right way to speak in these spaces?
Yeah, I think it's, it's not like people are going to mess up. And like, I totally understand that. Like, I think even when I was first coming out, I would like misgender myself, you know, and like, it's hard to, yeah, it's hard to adjust it, especially when you're only used to using, you know, she, her, he, him. But I think it's really important if you're someone that does mess up, like, and you catch it, be like, oh, sorry, I mean, I mean they, you know, if you accidentally said she, and then quickly move on. Like, I think that's best practiced. And yeah, I obviously, I also look at like someone's, I can tell when someone's like doing it like intentionally and like purposely to like, I don't know, harm me, or I don't know how to explain, yeah. like on Twitter, you know, I know, yeah. I know when you're like, okay, you're using she because you're like, yeah. them is stupid, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Like
they're trying to prove a point.
Yes, exactly. Like I can tell the difference between that versus like, I don't know, some boomer who has never heard a they, them pronoun in their life accidentally being like, oh, Nikki, she's so good. Like, I'm like, it's like harmless.
Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. I have one. I have a relationship question. I know a lot of our listeners will be so interested to know how you and Emma are like, how is home life with you both now? Like, it must be like quite high intensity, and just how do you manage the home relationship? And obviously, I don't want to deep dive, but unless you want to, I'm a listener. I'm a good listener.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's funny that you said intense, because yeah, Emma and I are both very intense people. Like, it's not, you know, we are very like fun and funny and outgoing and all those things. But like, yeah, we're intense. And so it definitely, we have a lot of conversations about just like so many things all the time. I don't know, but I think it's, I'm filming a documentary and we're like in the middle of it, and it's gonna, you know, hopefully follow my path to the Olympic Games. And they were just here this weekend filming, and, you know, they were like, okay, our whole goal this weekend is just to be like flies on the wall, like, and just see how you and Emma, like, you know, interact. And, you know, it's all those things. There's joy, there's laughter, there's fun, funny. And then there's also like, yeah, intense moments of like being queer is hard, and both navigating, like, you know, having really big goals in a couple weeks is also hard. So, yeah, I don't really know how to explain it, but I guess like, hopefully you'll see some of that in the documentary.
<I can't wait. laughs>
Like, stay tuned. Yeah. But no, I mean, Emma is obviously like, I love her and I spend all my time with her. So it's, yeah, it's like, she's taught me a lot when it comes to like, yeah, like how I think about things. And she's also honestly helped me a lot in terms of when it, like we were talking about earlier, thinking about like being outcome oriented versus just process focused. And that's something she really preaches. And so we kind of try to like check each other on that of like, oh, you're thinking too much about the outcome right now. Like, let's just, you know, focus on doing. And yeah, so, I don't know. That's a good question, but I guess you'll have to see.
I hope that at the end of the documentary or at some part, there's both of you learning French.
Seriously. Yeah.
She withdrew, Emma did, from the marathon trials, but is going to Eugene in what event?
Steeplechase.
Exactly. Exciting. Great news. And I'm sure it's going to be an exciting time for you and your household and your families and everybody. And we just, we're all rooting for you. Of course, we're rooting for all the Americans. We want everybody to have a great meet, and we'll be rooting for everybody, of course, in Paris, but we are rooting for you, Nikki, at New York Roadrunners, because you've been such a great, great leader and a great role model in this sport. So we hope you have all the best. Everything goes well for you and Eugene. Thank you so much for being who you are, for joining us. We really appreciate it and hope to see you in Paris.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
Time now for today's member moment. And, you know, people run for a lot of reasons. Some people run for their physical health. Some people love the community that running brings them. And some people run for their mental health. And then some people do it to more authentically express who they really are. Today's member moment is with Rob Roberts, this year's NYRR Runner of the Year in the non-binary category, age 45 to 49. Rob's award was well-earned with 5 runs so far this year. And we are honored to have him on the show with MEB.
Thanks, Rob. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Rob, what does it mean for you to represent non-binary runners in such an inspiring way?
So it's an interesting question. Floored, surprised, honored, all come to mind. When I opened that box and I saw the award, I really was at a loss for words. It was an incredible feeling. And, you know, I think what really comes to mind is that I hope that I am inspiring others. I hope that I'm helping others. And I hope I'm doing a good job. I don't necessarily look at myself as an inspiration to people, but if I can help one person out or help a few people out, I think that's important. And talking with other non-binary runners in the New York area and outside of New York, I've gotten a little bit of feedback about what a positive thing it is. And I've mentioned this to New York Roadrunners before. When I ran my first marathon in New York, I didn't know that it was an option. And I appreciate that New York Roadrunners has let me choose that and lets us as a group identify how we feel best as the mixture of all different things. And I know that that's not true in all parts of this country, in all parts of this world. And I think the one thing that I hope that I do most is give somebody who's in that situation an opportunity to look and go, and this is somebody who represents us, and maybe appreciate that, feel not so alone, and know that there's a person and people and an organization and a group that have got their back, whether they can say it out loud or not.
Absolutely. You're inspiring many people. Let's go back a little bit to you start running in 2020. What inspired you to start running again?
Great question. So I had I'll call it a minor surgery, but important to me, on March 13th of 2020, which here in New York was exactly 2 days before the hospital shut down because of COVID. And running helped me with that recovery and helped me fill a void. I travel for work. I'm in consulting. I'm on the road every week. And all of a sudden, I went from that to never leaving my house. At the same time, the world was kind of falling apart around me, and sanity and sleep were difficult to come by. And I kind of had a choice that I could make. I could sit on my phone at 3 a.m. and doom scroll and let anxiety and bad news consume me, or I could get out and do something kind of positive. And following that surgery, it was a unique experience, even for the doctor, who said, I can't approve you to go out and run. I can't approve you to lift weights until I see you. So I don't really know what I could do, but go out and walk. So I did. And I started walking, and I started walking further, and I started walking faster. And then I met with the doctor virtually, and we talked about it. And you know, I got myself, one of my goals was to do a half marathon, whether it was speed walking or jogging or whatever it was. And I hit that goal in an unofficial way in the summer of 2020. And my doctor was great about it. He went, I didn't mean that you'd never run a half marathon. I was just trying to prepare you for life. But he really inspired me by saying, hey, look, this is something that you may not do. I was able to turn that into something that I could do. And getting out and running gave me an outlet for my energy. It let me burn off anxiety. And it also, probably more importantly, and part of the reason we're here, is it helped me find a supportive community of runners and friends who got me to do the crazy things that I do now, like running. I'll tell you, it was the summer of 2021 when I got a phone call that said, hey, do you want one of our clubs? Let me say this. My local running club, North Merrick Runners, their motto is run as you are. And I think in many ways I've challenged them on that, and they've stepped up, and they've been a wonderful supporting group in every way, shape, and form. But they gave me an opportunity to run the marathon in 2021, and it's something that I never would have done had I not made that change or that decision early on, that I want to do something positive with my time. I want to better myself, and maybe even, you know, get some other people around me to run as well.
That's a great story. How was that journey, though, you know, from having the surgery and to do your first TCS New York City Marathon in 2021. What was that feeling coming across the finish line?
So I'm actually kind of tearing up now thinking about it. Crossing that finish line was unreal. Having my parents and my partner in the seats cheering me on at the finish line was incredible. Having strangers around me high-fiving each other, giving each other hugs, all the way down to somebody putting a medal around my neck. That was unreal. Like, Ned, you've been there. You've gotten that in the Olympics. That I assume that's sort of like what that feeling is like. You know, one analogy that I use a lot at work is that there are hard times in life. And for me, I always think about the Queensboro Bridge. And every New York City marathon, that Queensboro Bridge has been a hard time in life. You're alone. It's quiet. There's footsteps. Yeah. You start doubting yourself. And then you come out onto First Avenue. And man, people are cheering for you. And the it feels like the entire city is pulling together. And they're all pulling for you and those people around you. And again, the entire marathon is like that. But between Central Park and First Avenue, I don't know that I ever feel that way more.
You know, Rob, I can relate. You know, there's always a struggle in life, and there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. As you described, yes, the Queensboro Bridge, quiet, loneliness, and whatnot, doubts. But then when you hit First Avenue, the crowd carries you through. So as life, as marathon, challenging things happen. But I heard you have exciting news that you have a new addition to your family. That's another even greater cause and purpose. What can you tell us a little bit about that to our audience, please?
I do, and I appreciate you asking that. Yes, so we have an 18-month-old who is with us, and about 11 days ago, we had a new baby join us who has already run 500 miles inside of his mother, and he's well versed in running, whether he wants to be or not, as is awesome. His brother.
Great, that's great, great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Rob, keep inspiring people. There's different. Everybody have different stories to tell. As 50,000 people do the TCS New York City Marathon, or many of the New Yorker runners races, and we're just glad that you were inspiring to many non-binary categories. So, congratulations, Rob. Well done.
Thank you. And again, I really look at the New York road running community and New York road runners, and I want to say, you know, thanks for having my back. Thanks for having everyone's back. And enabling myself and others to be okay with who they are. It really has made a huge difference in my life mentally, which has impacted other things as well. And not just for myself, but more so for the community and communities at large. Thank you all.
Thanks, Rob.
Now it's time for today's Med Minutes.
Thanks, Rob. Hydration is crucial. And hydration is something that you do every single day. Some people think it's just when you run or when you work out, but it's something that you need to do on a day-to-day basis, sometimes even hourly. You know, hydration is a good indicator about your performance. If you feel thirsty, by that time, you'll have decreased your performance by about 25%, which is a huge, huge deal. So hydration is something that you need to do every day. Before on a race day, you need to do before, during, and after. You have to stick with it and to stick to something that works for you. It's not just plain water. It's not always simple. It's something that you don't want to wash out the nutrition that you've been consuming. So you need to be able to have electrolytes on once a day, or orange juice, or something that will give you sugar to be able to just keep you going. I think it's important to hydrate way out before race, and then during the race you stick to something that isn't the, you know, that you've been training for. If you're fortunate enough, even if you have to carry it for a little bit, or if you're meeting some family members during the run or during the race. So it is important to be able to just monitor your hydration. And you know, rule of thumb, I think Lance Armstrong started this, is a, you know, it's kind of a nasty, but at the same time, it's a good indicator. You just don't want all washed up. You want it to have a little color to your urine. So that's a good way that I have used it, because if it's too yellow, then you definitely dehydrated. So you want to be able to just be able to drink as much as you can, but you know what? You don't want to overdo it as well, just with water.
And that does it for a really special episode of Set the Pace. I want to thank our guest, Nikki Hiltz. We're all going to be watching out for Nikki in Eugene. Also want to thank our New York Roadrunners Member of the Week, Rob Roberts. Want to wish everybody out there a very happy Pride Month. Remember, if you like this episode, please go ahead, subscribe, rate, leave a comment for the show on whatever platform you're listening to. This will help other people find it as well. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the miles.